Hey, listener, it occurred to me that we got ahead of ourselves just a little bit and binged on our Year of the Rabbit screeners and recorded just a little bit earlier than I had realized. The Year of the Rabbit will premiere on IFC in the US starting February 19th. The show has already premiered last summer of 2019 in the UK. This spoiler episode will publish on February 13th. So, just a little heads up for any of our listeners, but regardless of where you live, I highly recommend you tune in to our spoiler-free episode first before diving into this one. Thanks, y'all! Hello and welcome to the Bingeables Podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin
and Isaac.
We are here to talk about the British mystery comedy Year of the Rabbit, starring Matt Berry.
And there will be spoilers.
Hey, good job. I always love your Matt Berry impression. So, if you're tuning in, hopefully you have watched Year of the Rabbit, and if not, at least hopefully you've watched one or two episodes on IFC.
Because otherwise you are going to be so lost.
Or maybe you're from the UK and you've already watched all of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing. We're saying it. Hopefully you've watched it, because if you haven't, you're going to be lost, because we're not going over plot. Plot's not a thing we do here anymore. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so we're going to break down four characters, and then we'll talk about our thoughts for season two, because season one did end with a little bit of a cliffhanger. Not a huge one, but a little bit of a cliffhanger. I'm going to let you take it from here on the Elephant Man.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the Elephant Man, now, if you've watched, he's one of my favorite characters for the show, because... they use him as a device to just, like, get the plot going every time. Like, oh, we don't know something. Who's gonna know everything? Apparently the Elephant Man knows everything that's going on in the East End. And I like his sole motivation seems to be, like, wanting to get paid for people to look at him. So he goes around town in a hood so that people can't see him, and he's always talking about how he's coming up with different schemes to get people to pay money to, like, view him and the different gigs that he does. And I really like him as that kind of plot device-y character. And his little sayings are pretty good. Like Elephant Man has to get paid or whatever. I felt like his lines were timed well and written well, and I like him for that. I don't have a whole lot of, like, deep thoughts about him. I mean, he was really, there was a real person, the Elephant Man, and
Joseph Merrick.
Thank you, because I was blanking on the actual name of the real person.
I briefly skimmed over the Wikipedia page on Joseph Merrick. He was actually born, like, healthy. He wasn't born with deformities.
Right, so he developed the elephantism, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. When he was pretty young, actually, so... I believe his mother passed, but his father remarried, and his stepmother didn't like him or something.
Oh, I mean, that sounds right.
Yeah. And then at 17, he couldn't stand being with his dad and his stepmother, so he went away to be with another family member, and then he eventually met a showman and convinced the showman to, like, have him on stage and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So he did eventually embrace his deformity, like the character in Year of the Rabbit.
Right. And I guess that's kind of the thing that I like about the character, is that He's leaning into it. Like, he's not like, oh, I'm so disfigured, I'm so depressed about it. He's like, well, this is what I have, so let's make the most of it.
Yeah, I am deformed. I'm gonna use it to my advantage. People want to see this stuff.
Right.
And they'll pay money for it. What is it, like 20 quid on his on his poster?
Oh, that was for the at the end of the series where he was throwing the switch to light up the East End with the new electric street lights. He was getting paid 20 quid to do that.
So,
or maybe it was 20 quid a ticket. It was something outrageous, though.
So 20 quid back then, that's considered expensive.
Oh yeah.
So that's not like $20 here.
The denomination is yes. That would be like saying £20, but you know that's like saying $20 back in 1888 here in the U.S. Like $20 back in 1888 would have bought you a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Same thing here.
Okay. Moving on to Mabel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so Mabel is, as we've said, the chief's daughter, and I really like her because, she's basically the only woman of color in the show, and she's also a protagonist, one of the three main protagonists.
Well, I mean, if you think about the time period, I'm amazed that they have a person of color. And be a woman of color at all. And they do also have one other person of color, Tanner's
associate.
Sidekick. Yeah, he's an Indian man, or at least looks like an Indian man.
I think he was an Indian man. But yeah, no, you're right. There wasn't a lot of people of color in the UK back then.
I mean, they were there, but they wouldn't have been.
They weren't in the police station.
They wouldn't have been, anywhere that would have been considered a respectable
They wouldn't job. Be in occupations that had that much authority.
Yeah, they would have been kept out.
In 1888. Yeah. But she was lucky because she was the chief's daughter. Actually, adopted daughter. Okay, because I couldn't remember if they actually said that on the show, if she was adopted.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I assumed she was adopted because he's white and she's black.
Well, I mean, he could have had a black wife.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't remember them saying that in the show.
I'm pretty sure she was adopted, though.
Yeah, that's what I figured. But yeah, she grew up watching her dad as chief of police for this one station. And she also really wants to be a cop, and she proves herself worthy of it. She's got the spunk and the balls to do the police work, and there are times where she really just outshines Rabbit.
If there's anyone from the UK listening to this right now, you're probably giggling to yourself about spunk and balls. Anyway, go on.
What was that?
Spunk is another word for semen.
What?
Yes. Not here in America so much, but anyway, moving on.
I learned something new about British colloquialism.
Yep.
Okay.
I was like, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that you missed in the show because you're just not familiar with the phrases.
Probably, but anyways... she does become the first black policewoman of that precinct.
I think she's actually the first policewoman, black or not.
Oh. I should probably rewatch the show. But, yeah, so I have a lot to admire in this character. But as I briefly mentioned in the spoiler-free episode, she does have some flaws like everybody else. She wants to be a part of this, like, all-female organization, and, she does get into this organization, but she doesn't realize that the leader of this organization has only let her in because she's trying to get information from Mabel about Inspector Rabbit, about the...
Right, she doesn't find it odd that, that this woman's like, okay, so how does your precinct work? Like, how does the station work? Like, what are the, when does Rabbit come in? Like, what's his route that he takes to work? Yeah, she doesn't find any of that suspicious.
Yeah, she doesn't realize that she's become the mole.
Yeah, yeah. And that's exactly what she is. You know, later in the series, we find out that Strauss has also been, you know, giving out information, too, because he thinks that Lydia is his girlfriend.
Clementine.
Clementine.
My sweet Clementine.
Clementine would never do that. Yeah, she would. And you need to accept that. You just don't want to see me happy.
Oh, man. Oh, and that's another thing. I noticed it more with Mabel, but they use a lot of 21st century lingo.
Yeah. Well, at least 20th century lingo.
In the last episode, Mabel's like, bring it in. Like, that's so modern.
Yeah. And I like that.
No, I love it too.
Yeah, I really like that because I'm sure they're actually using some colloquialisms from the 1880s. And I know, especially in the early episodes, I felt like, I'm like, I think I should know what that means, but I don't. And their accents are sometimes so thick that I'm like, I really have no idea what they said. Anyway, do you have anything else to say about Mabel?
You know, since they hinted at a season two,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting a little ahead of myself.
I mean, we're not doing this sequentially, so we can talk about the thing at the end of season one.
Okay. I'm hoping her being on as the first black policewoman at the police station, I'm hoping they'll bring in maybe a second woman of color to the show. Not as a full-on cop like Mabel, but maybe as like a, I don't want to say intern, but kind of like an intern where they're kind of shadowing them.
Mm.
And Mabel becomes more of like a mentor to somebody else.
Also, I think Mabel's probably the first woman cop in like all of London.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, okay. It would be cool if they did that in the show where Mabel is a mentor to another woman cop. And it would be cool if it was a woman of color cop.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that's where the season two is going to go. But we'll get to what our predictions are for that in a minute. About Lydia.
Okay, so Lydia interests me. Not just because I like Keeley Hawes, but...
Who is attractive for an older woman? I will say.
You're so mean.
I mean, I don't have to qualify it necessarily for an older woman. She's attractive right now, at least. So, I'm just surprised that she's older than me by some years. Anyway, go on.
Okay. So, I like... Once we learn in the season one finale what her motivation was and just a little bit of her background, I did like her more. Because at the beginning, I was just like, okay, she's clearly the bad guy, but like, what is this leading up to?
I assumed, and they kind of used her like this, she was going to be like a female Professor Moriarty. Like, she's the head of this ridiculously expansive criminal underground that nobody knows about, which is, you know, kind of what she is.
Who is Professor Moriarty?
He's the main antagonist to Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, okay. Sorry, guys.
Okay. So, yeah. And that's kind of how they used her for the most part. Like, she's the head of this criminal organization. She has... lots of connections.
She's got killer archer skills.
Which, okay, so what they don't really explain, because in the season finale, you know, we get her backstory about how she killed her the husband that she was sold to, and then Rabbit kept her out of prison by saying that she needed to be committed to an asylum. But they don't talk about, like, where she gets all this power and money from. Like, how did she, like...
I think they purposefully left that out.
Okay.
Because of time?
I was like, not that it's necessarily important. I just feel like if you're going to give me the backstory, like, you shouldn't leave out, like, how they come to power, I guess.
I agree. Okay. I think maybe if this was a one-hour drama and it had a more serious tone, they probably would have had more time to dive into that.
Yeah.
Because Lydia's backstory was shown to us just like really quick flashbacks in conversation in this carriage.
I love the end of that scene. There's one thing that you don't know about me.
I've got 17 dog shits in my pocket. That is so gross. That's so gross. Also, it's mushy. How can you throw it out like that and have it splatter?
Why not? Like, because it's in his pockets. He's just, it's all over his hands. Oh, man, it's so gross and so funny. I laughed at that. So we watched the last episode twice, and I laughed at that joke both times. Both times. I was like, oh, right. That's hilarious.
And right. He knew exactly how many dog shits he had picked up from the sewer. Mm-hmm. Oh, so gross.
Yep. I'm pretty sure it was 29.
29?
Yeah, it was 29. 29 dog shits.
Okay.
I've got 29 dog shits in my pocket.
Although, I do want to make one more comment about Lydia, because she reminds me of Carmilla from Castlevania.
Oh, okay.
The evil vampire lady?
Yes.
Yeah. She reminds me of Carmilla in the sense that, like, okay, Lydia was forced to, like, be married off to this old guy, and Carmilla was, I forgot her story, but it was like she was just involved with an older guy who was also a vampire. And then they didn't want to be in their situations anymore, so they just killed the guys.
Yep.
And then they kind of used that turning point to say, hey, I've got power now. I'm going to do what's right for me.
Yep. Yes. I completely agree with your parallel drawing there.
I feel really smart saying that. Okay. And now, the titular character himself, Rabbit.
Okay. I want to say, first off, that it's a quintessential Matt Berry character, to me, at least.
You know, that is your favorite adjective. You've said quintessential
bunch. I do say that a lot. and in arguments, I also say demonstrative a lot, in case you guys ever get in an argument with me. Anyway, or demonstrably. I'll be like, that's demonstrably false. Anyway, so with Rabbit, like, I'm not surprised when he starts, like, just shagging that woman that is the sniper.
Oh, Flora.
Flora, yeah. I'm not surprised when that happens. And then in the last episode when he is like, Tanner and I would love us. I'm also not surprised because that's just like a Matt Berry character. Like, a Matt Berry character wants to have sex with anything and everything. So just like the guy, what was his name on, What We Do in the Shadows?
Laszlo.
Yeah. Just like Laszlo will have sex with anything. And, just like, when he was, I think his character's name was Dunham in the IT Crowd. Now, he didn't want to have sex with anything, but he ended up having sex with a transvestite. Or, no, not a transvestite. Transgender woman?
I mean, I didn't watch all of the IT Crowd, so...
Yeah, there was this... the joke in that one was, like, they were on a date, and the woman's like, so I've got something to tell you. I'm a man. And Matt Berry's like, oh, I don't care. It takes all sorts. And then they end up having lots and lots and lots of sex. And then in the end, when Matt Berry's character finds out, he's like, wait, what do you mean you're a man? He's like, oh, I told you when we first started dating. And Matt Berry's character goes, oh, I thought you said you were from Iran. but yeah, so like I said,
very sex positive.
Uh-huh. Yep. Matt Berry characters will have sex with anything.
Or wait, no. Pansexual?
Sure. Yeah.
Is that the right term for
it? I honestly don't know.
Okay, never mind.
and you know, so true to form, Rabbit likes to get down. He's got some pretty good sayings about that. Like when he's talking to Tanner and he's like, you don't remember when we were behind the bins and you were like a rat in a tailpipe or something like that. It was very evocative and gross. Otherwise, I think he's, as far as his police work, it's kind of shit, but so is almost everyone else's police work.
Well, that was kind of how it was back then, right? This was before forensic science was a thing.
So, yeah, they were just kind of like, and, you know, to their credit, it's not like the police forces of today do that much better. They go and look for things based on, you know, their own sort of biases, like, oh, I expect that this is the reason why this has happened, and I'm going to look into it. And for the most part, they think that they always have a good reason for it. They're like, oh, I don't know. I don't have a good example here.
Well, in the season one finale, when Rabbit was framed for killing that man, Larkin, like, his partner Strauss said, that's not even his handwriting. And, like, he wouldn't even put in that much effort. He hates crafts.
He hates crafts. He wouldn't call himself, what was it, though?
The Weaver.
Yeah, he wouldn't call himself the Weaver. He hates crafts. But yeah, and so in, you know,
like, he was just found in his room like that with I am the Weaver in blood on the wall, and the police were like, oh, it must be him. He's a terrible person.
Well, so in fact, there's actually a more recent version of this kind of thing. There's an HBO series, and I want to say it's called, it's HBO, it's called The Night Of, and the main character in that show is essentially, wakes up and finds himself in a murder scene, and the cops catch him and, you know, try to pin him for it, but he can't remember what happened, just like Rabbit here. And the whole series is about, finding out whether or not he did it and kind of what the prison system does to people, even before they get into, even before they're convicted. So if you're a fan of crime dramas, I highly recommend The Night Of. It's fairly depressing, though, so don't go into it thinking you're going to, you know, feel good at the end of it.
So I wouldn't want to watch it.
Oh, well, maybe. Maybe not.
Nah, I don't know. I try not to watch anything too depressing.
I mean, it's really well written, and the acting is very good, and it's been a while since I've seen it, but I don't remember anything about the show that I was like, oh, bullshit. I think most of it was pretty close to reality.
Okay, so Rabbit's situation in the season one finale was like that of the guy in The Night Of.
Right. So that's a situation that, you know, kind of permeates our society through time, because I'm pretty sure that even that same situation was a Sherlock Holmes story at one point. I don't remember if it was exactly, if it was like a long one, if it was a short story. But anyway, what else were we talking about? Rabbit. What do you have to say about him? I feel like I've been doing all the talking about Rabbit.
Well, I mean, I don't have that much to say about him. He's a Matt Berry character.
Yeah.
He's funny, and he really loves Flora, and she died.
Oh, yeah, she did die.
Actually, she died twice for him, because he thought she was hung.
Well, that's true. That's true. So, here's a good question. Do you think that he was more distraught the first time or the second time?
That is a good question.
I mean, so in the show, obviously, I think his character was more distraught the first time because he gets all, like, drunk and shit. And uh-huh. That's how he gets and ends up getting framed for Larkin's murder.
Uh-huh.
But, like, as a person, like, would you be more upset about the first time that they're dead or the second time when you're like, oh, shit, because you find out, oh, like, oh, you're really alive. Awesome. And then, boom, they're dead for real, and you've confirmed it. This isn't like...
You've actually witnessed the death.
Yeah.
Like, up close. Are you asking me through Rabbit's point of view or point of view?
Yeah, so both.
Okay. I think he was definitely way more upset the first time in the show.
Right. Acting-wise.
Acting-wise.
But the character of Rabbit, like...
I think it would make more sense for him to be more upset the second time.
Okay.
But I think in the show they just play them off as, well, because Tanner shoots her.
Right.
So they were just in a situation where anything could have happened.
So
versus the first time where he knew that she was going to die and he was trying really hard to get to her. And then he was just too late, so he blamed himself. So then he was really upset the first time.
Right.
But the second time, like, there were just other people involved around them.
Right.
And...
Well, so here's what I'm thinking, and this is going to kind of segue into our next section about our thoughts on season two, is his character displayed... kind of unusual calm at her funeral, right? Because that's what they were doing in the last scene. And this is where I think Jermaine shows up as a guest or as a cameo. I think he's the one that talks to... What's his name? The Chief.
The Chief, yeah.
Yeah, and is like, Her Majesty wants the three of them for a job. I think that Rabbit... seems to be uncharacteristically calm at this point. And I think that he is either plotting revenge or, and that's going to be like a theme for season two, is like they're going to be trying to do whatever the queen wants and trying to get revenge on Tanner. They're going to be trying to do whatever the queen wants, despite the fact that Rabbit is horribly depressed the entire season because of the loss of Fiona? Flora?
Flora.
Flora.
Well, okay, so why would he get revenge on Tanner? Tanner's dead.
Oh, Tanner is dead. Good point.
Yeah, because Flora shot Tanner. Tanner hit the floor. Concrete. But then he got the final shot at Flora before he actually died.
Mm-hmm.
He still had the gun in his hand.
Right. I don't think he's dead.
Okay, so you think he survived death a second time?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, I mean, look, he took a bomb to the face and was fine. I think something as simple as getting shot in the back, meh. Whatever. He'll shrug it off.
So, suspend more disbelief for this show.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Tanner's gonna be back.
Yeah.
My man Thoros!
Yeah, he'll probably be back. And I'm gonna say, he's not Thoros. He's Barbossa. Anyway. Alright. Now, what do you think?
So, you thought Rabbit was very calm? I didn't even notice. I just figured, okay, well, the show's ending, so...
Yeah, so
they're wrapping it up pretty quick. There's not a lot of other discussion.
So they're standing at her grave, and he's like, something like, goodbye, old girl, or something.
And that's a total Matt Berry thing to say.
Yeah. But that's it, right? Like, he seems very calm about it. And then just the way that the three of them are walking away in that last shot, they seem to have a purpose. So it's very, I don't know.
Who is he going to get revenge on? The Vision? The society?
For sure. He wants to take out the Vision, right? Because he, and you know what? That's a good point. He certainly has cause to blame the Vision because they are the ones that used her.
Against him.
Yeah. And that's why she was in the alley at the time, and that's what put her in the situation to get shot by Tanner. So...
Okay, that makes more sense. I was gonna say, my thoughts on season two concerning the Vision is that Lydia is a leader, so she will be back. And they're gonna play some sort of role with getting back at... maybe not getting... Do you think it would be too redundant if Lydia still wanted to get revenge on Rabbit? I think so. Rabbit, Strauss, and Mabel, I think they're going to have to work with the Vision at some point in season two.
Oh, you think it'll be a team-up thing?
Because they got to change it up.
Right.
It can't be a redundant storyline where Lydia's back and she still wants revenge on Rabbit.
So I think she might. So if she's back and if they don't do a team up, I think they still have options. I think they won't have her try and get revenge on Rabbit, but she'll have a new scheme, right? Like this season, the scheme was to get everyone in East End to kill each other so that then they could buy all the property in the East End and create a new London run by women. So
that's the end goal. I think she'll still want to do her end goal, so, but differently.
Yeah, I was like, if she still wants to do that, then she will try something else. Like, I don't know, poisoning all the water in the East End or something, right? We'll see, I guess. But that's how I think they would be able to do it without a team up. But to your point, I think a team-up is kind of likely.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Except I think that that Rabbit wants revenge, and I don't know.
He's not going to be willing to do a team-up.
Right. And so there will have to be something to make him do it. Or he'll agree to it and then cock it all up just so that he can get his revenge.
Oh, that right. Makes sense. Yeah. What do you think Queen Victoria, how is her role going to be in season two?
I think she'll probably be revealed to be the real head of the Vision.
I'm sorry. That was genuine. That was a genuine gasp. That was not sarcastic. That would be really cool if they went in that direction.
Like, they will...
It is an all-female organization.
Right.
Yeah.
And what they'll do is they'll get stuff from... the team will get stuff from the Queen, and they'll be doing it, and they'll be like... and they'll start to notice that the stuff seems to be aligning with things that the Vision want to do, and they'll realize that they've been working for the Vision the whole season, and then they'll figure it out or something. And
oh my god,
yeah.
What if Lydia wants to assassinate Queen Victoria
to be able to take over the Vision or something? Yeah,
yeah.
And then I don't know, succeeds in 1901 when Queen Victoria actually dies.
Yeah. Oh my god, is this show too predictable? I'm having too much fun.
I don't know. I don't know. These are all things just off the top of my head. I haven't put any real thought into it.
Yeah, they're just theories we're spitting out because the season finale is fresh on our mind.
Right.
But yeah, I like all of these theories. I think yours makes the most sense.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. Because I'm assuming they'll probably just do another six episodes. for season two?
As is the course with British television, you get 6 episodes in a year, maybe a year and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This was fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast. Learn more about us on Twitter at BingeablesPod.
If you enjoyed this episode, head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. We would very much appreciate it.
Until next time. The Bingeables podcast is produced by patron Raymond G. And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin McLeod.